Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. A common lament I hear from clients whose animals experience serious behavioral problems is, why is eliminating this behavior so hard? The question contains the answer. Eliminating serious problem behavior is hard work, physically, mentally, and emotionally. Seven factors may contribute to this. One, lack of knowledge regarding the animal's normal species behaviors as those normal to that specific animal in that specific physical and mental environment at that specific time. Not to sound like a broken record here, but the less people know about their animal's normal species and individual behaviors, the more likely they'll take anything their animal does wrong personally. And the more personally they take it, the harder it will be for them to summon the commitment to change any problem behavior. Two, coming from a background that didn't foster and value the development of patience, self-control, and self-reinforcement. Successfully eliminating problem behavior requires all three. People who lack those skills must develop them to help their animals. And doing so requires time and commitment to the animal. On the upside, developing these basic life skills will provide benefits in other parts of one's life too. Three, the belief that training a dog or cat should be fun, or at least fast and easy. Even if you begin with a nice, stable puppy from a strong companion dog background and hit the ground running, learning takes time. When the brain circuitry supporting problem behavior must be dismantled and replaced by that supporting the desired behavior, and then the latter consistently reinforced until it becomes the norm, it takes even longer. For those with short attention spans or who desire quick fixes, making those consistent responses long enough for the canine or feline brain to do this may seem like cruel and unreasonable punishment. Four, the belief that changing an animal's behavior involves nothing more than doling out rewards, punishments, or drugs. Reward commonly means treats. Punishment increasingly means some sort of remote device that separates the owner from the act itself. Although this indeed may be the case in stable young animals from strong companion pet backgrounds, in animals with serious behavioral problems, such methods most likely have been tried by the current or previous owners and failed. In a significant number of cases, even the get a bigger hammer approach, that is, yummier treat or harsher punishment or stronger drugs or more drugs, also have failed. Five, when people become conditioned to training animals using reward or punishment, it may be very difficult for them to change to a different approach. This occurs because when these approaches work, people naturally repeat them. Each time they do, this reinforces the use of those approaches and makes it easier to repeat these again. At the same time, though, it makes not using them in what these folks perceive as comparable circumstances very difficult. How long it takes someone to become conditioned to a particular method to the point changing to another becomes painful or even impossible varies. Six, the belief that when you've done everything you wanted to do to help the animal needs drugs. Recall the fourth factor, The belief that changing an animal's behavior involves nothing more than doling out rewards, punishments, or drugs. It's not about how long we want to help the animal. It's about how long it takes the brain changes necessary for learning to occur. When people want drugs to fix their pets, they commonly refer to those with a high media presence, such as Prozac, or something newer and sexier, or a combination thereof. Factor 7, the nature of the symbolic relationship with the animal. We all attach symbolism to our animals. This occurs so easily that sometimes the animal and the symbolism become one and the same. If that symbolism results in a well-behaved and healthy animal, it's not a problem. But if it creates problems for the animal, that symbolism can make resolving those problems even more difficult than it already is. And as people who don't see their pets as date bait or protectors of one sort or another will tell you, correcting problem behaviors is hard enough without adding any problematic human-animal symbolism to the mix. So when your animal develops problem behaviors and eliminating those problem behaviors seems too hard, think about these 7 factors. Get your own act together first if you want your animal to act better too.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.